Bring you to Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, Jeff is speaking about putting together a message each week, and I don't know, it's not something like I feel like I have to do. It's a pleasure, it's a joy. I'm totally amazed that you come here to listen to me. But hopefully, the things that you hear are from God. And I know that starting on Mondays, you know, I just begin asking God, you know, what's the word for this week? And I just do not like to do holiday sermons. So if you're expecting a Memorial Day Veterans sermon today, it ain't happening. I just feel like God treasures this time so much. He is so jealous for this time that we have with Him. And I try to hear what He has to say for us for this coming week. And usually during the week, I have to live through the message. You know, a situation happens that's brought up in the message that I have to live through too. So
make sure you don't not deliver a Memorial Day message for yourself, because He actually wanted you to.
Yeah. Although that wasn't the one I got. This.
Right. Don't be surprised if He gives you one, a holiday message on that holiday sometime.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like a teacher, or is it? I'm a preacher, and anything you say may be used in a sermon.
Yeah, fair warning. Amen. Well, this week's message is "Speak Life." You may have gotten a hint of that from one of our songs, and actually, the message is inspired by that song from Toby Mac, and did a little. Research on Got Questions, so got a few tips from there. If you're looking to research Bible topics, gotquestions.org is pretty solid. Hard to go wrong there. But I think the question becomes, what does it mean to speak life? What does it mean to speak life? To speak life is to be a person of encouragement, edification, which is one of those churchy words that means building one another up, and a blessing to others in what you say. In Proverbs 10, it says that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. So we, being righteous in Christ alone, in Christ only, not of our own abilities, we should be able to speak life to others. But the question remains, how can we as followers of Christ learn to harness our words so that we speak life to those we love, to those that are the lost, to those that are dying in this world? And when I say dying, I don't mean just, you know, the people in the nursing home in the last few weeks or people in hospice. I'm talking about anyone that's not in Christ. Anyone that's not in Christ is dying, just to clarify that. I mean, we were all dead in our sins before we were born again. We were born back into the spiritual kingdom. Greg Smalley is a preacher and minister, and he has this list of 5 ways to speak life into someone. So what I'm hoping is that's what we get out of today's message, to try to remember these 5 ways. That these would be intuitive. You probably already know this. It's probably something your mom said to you when you were growing up. First one is, speak words of praise. Second is, speak words of gratitude. Third one is, speak words of validation. The fourth one is, speak words of honor. And 5, speak words of encouragement. If you think on that for just a moment, praise, gratitude, validation, honor, encouragement, that makes up this package of us speaking life into people that is so different, it is so opposite of what we hear in the world, of what is coming at us from the world. Some people live their life in darkness, and all they see is the negative in their life and the negative in others. In fact, even many Christians have never considered the incredible impact their words can have on other people, or the impact that it can have on themselves. That's what I want to talk about today a little bit, is the impact that our words have. So the first one is, how does the words that we speak affect someone else, even our spouse or our children? Proverbs 18:21 says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Consider that. Have you ever considered that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is saying that the tongue, the things that we speak, the things that comes out of our mouth has so much power. The power of life and death. Encouragement often comes through spoken words. And so does discouragement. The Bible says in Proverbs, "Reckless words pierce like a sword." But how good is a timely word? I think we've all experienced that you know, somebody speaks a word to us and it's just at the right moment, it's just what we needed to hear, just what we were looking to hear. It answers a question, it encourages us, gives us confidence. Or maybe, you know, we're talking to someone and God gives us this word and we speak it to them, and all of a sudden we see the response in the person receiving it, and we know it was from God. We know it's powerful.
You can remember stuff from junior high, you know, somebody that complimented you, and 60 years later you remember it, and the guy who dissed you, 60 years later you remember it like it was yesterday.
Amen. Amen.
So you never know what's going to be the one that locks it in.
Yeah. Amen.
I remember a junior high school teacher saying, "Don't smoke cigarettes." Boy, am I suffering from that.
Yeah.
You should listen.
Well, the words that we speak have consequences. Have we thought about that? The words that we speak have consequences. Our words can affect the emotional and spiritual health of someone we care about. We ought to think carefully before we speak, because our words can destroy our marriage, it can destroy our families, it can destroy our relationships, our friendships, it can destroy churches and ministries. You know, James tells us, and this is one thing I just can't forget, it just is so powerful, that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So it's not even just the words we speak. If we are speaking these words without waiting a moment for God to give us the words, or the heart, or the demeanor of the words. So, my question is, are we, through our words, building up the lives of our children, our spouse, and our other loved ones with our words, or are we tearing them down? Are we inspiring people with hope, or crushing their spirits? And I think if we each examine our own lives, our own words, if we consider the posts that we make on social media, you know, this can hurt. This can challenge us a little bit. Another proverb says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Have you ever seen, have you ever watched someone speaking crushing, debilitating, discouraging words to someone, maybe a spouse or a kid, and you just saw what was happening in that person's spirit just standing there as they're hearing it? Maybe you run into someone that comes into your life and they've been a victim of that. And you see the impact it has taken on their life. It should convict us to think, to consider the costly outcome of our spoken words. Hurtful words of criticism, defeat, hatred, failure, negativity, and hopelessness, they will eventually produce death. The Apostle Paul cautions us to speak only words that will benefit others. I want to read Ephesians 4:29, if you want to go there with me. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Isn't that astounding? I mean, that one sentence communicates so much. You know, that word is for that moment. And God has ordained that moment. He's ordained that word.
If I can interrupt real quick. A little further down in verse 31, says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen. 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 So my question is, what are you speaking? What are you speaking? I want you to think about the words that you're saying, and as this week goes on, maybe catch yourself and hear what you're saying. Hopefully it's good. But if it's not, then it will challenge you. Another proverb in chapter 10, verse 19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many. The fools die of lack of understanding. So in other words, you might paraphrase this, too much talk leads to sin. And these people will suffer the consequences of what they say. They will eat of the fruit of those words. Turn with me to Matthew 12. Jesus talks to us about our words. Matthew 12.
That's where I put in my phone a little cheat sheet that says, think. Is it truthful, helpful, inspiring, necessary, or kind? If not, shut up.
Good.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
And so when I'm on my phone this side, I look at that side, oh, I guess I shouldn't.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
That should be a disclaimer for Facebook posts.
Yeah.
Before you post, consider this.
Yeah. Are you there? Matthew 12, verse 34. Jesus says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Mm. Wow. So this is kind of an important topic. And what Jesus is saying is the words that we're speaking are coming from here. This is where it starts. So what does that mean? That means that we should be paying attention to our heart. Our heart needs to be changed. In its natural state, the heart is evil. And this is what Jesus was saying. Out of your heart overflows the thoughts, the words, what you really think. So if you struggle with speaking discouraging words, critical words, hurtful words, sarcastic words without love, because you can be sarcastic with love. If you struggle with that, work on your heart. You know, soak in some of God's goodness. See your heart changed. It's not about the actual words that you're saying. It's what's behind those words. What's the meaning in those words? What's the intention and object of those words? Pay attention to those.
And especially what you say to others, but what you say to yourself.
Yes.
That's the big one for me, that my daughter's always on my case. Dad, you're talking like you can't do this already. You haven't even tried, you know. Quit being so negative.
Amen.
And I go, you're right.
I think so many people hurt themselves in so many ways by what they say. Modern psychology calls it self-talk. You know, so if we're self-talking and we're speaking words of destruction and discouragement and depression, what do we think? I mean, it's coming from in our heart first, but I mean, we're just reinforcing it. Amen. That's got to change. Love, contentment, humility, and joy. If those are in your heart, if that's the status of your heart, the condition of your heart, those qualities will bubble up and they will help us speak those to others. Well, the words we say are important because they expose the condition of our hearts. Consider this. A critical heart is going to speak disparaging words. A bitter heart will speak stinging words. A self-righteous heart will speak judgmental words. And a thankless heart will speak words of complaint. What dawned on me as I was reading that, and actually, this part of this message was part of a sermon from about 3 years ago. And it came back to me, and I'm just reading that, and I'm thinking, you know, when I hear people speaking that way, all of a sudden I realize that's what's in their heart. And that person's heart needs some adjustment. They need some hope. They need some encouragement. Whereas a loving heart will speak uplifting words. So someone that's always speaking uplifting words, you can bet they have a loving heart. A contented heart will speak words of faith. Think about that, a contented heart. Because we have faith and trust in God and what He's going to do in our life, we can speak those words of faith. A humble heart will speak words of acceptance, grace. A joy-filled heart will speak grateful words. So how does what we speak affect our lives? Greg was touching on it a little bit. When someone says, through their words or their actions, I feel worthless. I don't know why God made me. No one cares about me. I hate my life. When people are speaking those words, they're speaking the destruction into themselves. They are speaking of the overflow of their heart. And if we hear that, we have a golden opportunity. This is somebody saying to us, I need your ministry. I need the love of Jesus that you have. They may not realize that, but that's what they're saying. We can follow the example of Jesus when he said that he's come to proclaim the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to give them liberty, recovery of the sight to the blind. You know, people that are blind are also spiritually blind. So I said, those that are dying, I'm talking about those that are spiritually dying. I'm talking about spiritual blindness too. And freedom to the oppressed. So, are we speaking God's words? Are we speaking words of life? I want to look at four different areas real quick that kind of reflect what Scripture says. And in a personal focus, Colossians 3:8 says to put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. So when we're born again, as we're being sanctified, those manners of speaking should be put aside. Put them out in the shed. Get rid of them. Bury them. So, do you find yourself grumbling and complaining? Or are you expressing gratitude and appreciation? If you're grumbling and complaining, think about gratitude and appreciation. Are you criticizing and fault-finding and critiquing people? Or instead, are you praying and saying to God, show me the log in my eye? Are you guilty of slander, gossip, or backstabbing? Instead of talking about others, talk to them. Are you snide, rude, or insensitive with your comments? Instead, why not have verbal kindness, honor, courtesy, and respect? Do you find yourself belittling, insulting, or having cutting remarks? Instead, have speech that encourages and builds up and strengthens. I know in my brain, there are times it's just going through there and it's thinking, okay, what can I say that will just really get this person, you know? Whoa, don't let that come out of my mouth. Are you being verbally abusive? Instead, choose and use words that bring healing and give life. You see the difference, the contrast? In our personal relationships, Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace as it's seasoned with salt. So instead of avoiding those hard but necessary conversations, instead confront with tenderness and genuine concern. Instead of exaggerating or misrepresenting, speak accurately and with integrity. And you may find you have to hold back what you're going to say for a little while so you can get your words to that point. Instead of lying or telling half-truth or omitting things, lists of omission, be truth-telling not misleading, no matter what. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. That one's tough for me. Instead of bragging or boasting or taunting, have humility in your speech. Humility. Instead of flattery or insincere speech, speak the truth in love. You know, so often we are afraid to speak the truth, but no, we are supposed to speak the truth in love. So if you're holding back speaking the truth, work on it and say, how can I speak this in love? And that's going to come from your heart. It only comes from your heart. Instead of blaming others, or what we call blame shifting, not taking personal responsibility, name it, own it, admit it, and confess your fault, confess your sins. James also tells us to confess our sins one to another so that you will be healed. You realize some of your physical and mental illnesses are simply because of that. You are not confessing your sin and praying for one another? Are you expressing bitterness or rehashing old resentments? I am amazed how when I go around and I talk to people, they are stuck on something 20 years ago and they're still talking about it.
That guy from junior high, I'm still talking.
Yeah. I mean, how can that be? That's why I say I'm blessed with a bad memory. You know, because I forget those things. Not that I didn't do them, I just forget them. So instead we ought to be extending forgiveness or asking for forgiveness. What about as our personal witness? We're supposed to be witnesses of Jesus. Paul, when he writes to Timothy, says, show yourself as an example of those who believe. How do we do that? Are we enticing or inciting people to evil? Or are we exhorting others to holiness? Are we idle and careless and silly? Or do we have worldly speech? Or instead, are we sharing the gospel and discussing eternal realities? When we have those conversations about God, do we have those heated conversations, the ones that are a debate, or are we gently giving a reason for the hope within us, that lies within us, and using loving words? It's a challenge. But that's where we need to go, especially in this day and age. Are we talking incessantly, or have we learned to silently listen? Are we shaming or guilting others with words, or blessing others with words of grace and mercy? We should have a Christ-like example. We should not be teaching false things or advocating unbiblical ideas. Instead, we should be declaring God's truth with holy fear and trembling. We should not be blaspheming God. We should be praising God in words, hymns, and songs. We should not be cursing or using profanity. Instead, we should be talking about what's good and beautiful and noble. We should not be speaking negatively or pessimistically. Woe is me. Instead, why not express faith and hope in God's goodness and power? We should not be angry or bickering or accusing. We should be seeking peace and pursuing conflict resolution. So I just want to re-summarize those five ways that we can speak life. We speak words of praise, speak words of gratitude, speak words of validation. Can somebody tell me how you speak a word of validation? We got teachers in here. You guys know how to do that.
When you see something that's true, just acknowledge it. Like, I see that you're, wow, I see you knew that answer. Good job. Mm-hmm. Or, wow, I see you have this gift.
Yeah, validate. You know, we're validating maybe that they're in Christ, and we validate their heart and their humility, the things that we see in them.
I need to validate what Terry said after the service.
Yeah.
What he said was true in my life, so
amen.
I need to go validate.
Speak words of honor and speak words of encouragement.
Gratitude.
Amen. Just as Hildy was saying, giving thanks even before it happens. Just believing. All right, amen. Let's gather around and pray for one another.